Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey guys, it's Travis. So yesterday we dropped an episode where we talked about everything was going to change. We were only going to have one episode a month. It's the end of No Filler as we know it. Yada, 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 right? And here I am again in your feeds this morning. So if you're, you know, kind of plugged into rock and roll news, you probably heard that legendary guitar player Jeff Beck passed away yesterday. And yeah, when I heard about that, it, you know, stung a little bit worse than most, you know, musician or celebrity death news, right? Jeff Beck was a huge influence on me when I was growing up as a guitar player. You know, our dad took us to see him in concert several times. I actually had a clipping from a Guitar World magazine issue of him cut out and pinned to my wall, right? I mean, you know, that's the kind of nerd I was, right? But yeah, I started to play guitar when I was 13, and I idolized guys like Beck and, you know, Joe Satriani, and, you know, and then your standard fare, right? So I, you know, probably alongside the Jeff Beck poster was, you know, Tony Iommi of Sabbath, and, you know, obviously Jimmy Page and all that stuff, right? Eddie Van Halen, of course. But Jeff Beck was like in that group of guitar players that was like these sort of standalone jazz fusion kind of guys, right? The jazz rock fusion virtuosos. When I was exposed to that side of rock and guitar playing, it, you know, it was this whole new world to me, right? And obviously, credit to my father for turning us on to that, right? So anyway, we have an episode from the archive that I'm going to queue up here for you guys. We did an episode on his 1975 record, Blow by Blow. I just wanted to sort of pay my condolences and do a little explainer intro here for you guys. But yeah, so turns out you're getting two episodes this month, assuming that no other musical hero of mine passes away in the next few weeks. You'll be getting the What You Heard episode at the end of the month. But yeah, until then, as always, thanks for listening. Here is our episode on Jeff Beck's Blow by Blow.
Welcome to No Filler, the music podcast dedicated to sharing the often overlooked hidden gems that fill the space between the singles on our favorite records. My name is Quentin. I've got my brother Travis with me, as always, and this is our 101st episode.
Hey. Are we going to celebrate like this for every episode going forward, now that we've gone past 100?
No, I just wanted to bring it up again in case, you know, everyone missed the bus.
Missed the bus.
Last week we celebrated our 100th episode.
Yes, we did.
Those were good times, dude.
Indeed.
Remember that? Good times.
Those were good times, Q. And now we're just chugging along.
Yep, just chugging it up.
We're never looking back. We're only looking forward, Q.
Dude, I just looked back by bringing up the fact that this is our 101st. If we were just chugging along, I wouldn't have even brought it up. You know, like, who cares, dude? It's fine. You know, we're just doing the same old same.
Well, I'd say we've been in a pretty good pocket over the last few episodes of 70s fusion.
Okay, yeah. We covered Steely Dan.
We covered Larry Carlton, arguably one of the best fusion guitar players of all time. And now we're talking about Jeff Beck, one of the greatest guitar players to ever live. Rolling Stone put him on as number 5 on the top 100 guitar players of all time.
Who's number 1?
Try to guess.
I'm not going to say Chuck Berry. It's not Chuck Berry.
No.
Because he was number 1 for guitar solos, right?
Johnny B. Goode was listed as the number 1 guitar solo in a Rolling Stones magazine.
Okay, number 1 guitar player on Rolling Stones, what, top 100?
Top 100 guitar players of all time.
God, that's a lot of guitar players. Dude, I didn't even know we had that many guitar players on this earth. Ever.
On this earth?
Ever. And that's like 6 feet under and still living. I didn't know there was 100.
Oh man, I'm looking at the list and it's good. It's good.
Stevie Ray Vaughan, where I see you on there.
Stevie Ray Vaughan?
Mm-hmm.
Hold on. Trying to load the entire list here and it's, come on, man. I hate it when websites, or I'm sorry, I shouldn't blame the websites. When advertisements take over the entire site, you're trying to scroll past them and stuff. Man.
Oh, come on. Where's Stevie? Good old SRV.
Sorry, Q.
He's not number 1, clearly. No, you would have told me if I got it right.
These players are Ajaxing in here, so I got to.
Okay, so this. Jeff Beck is number 5.
Jeff Beck's number 5. Just try to guess who number 1 is. Give me your top 5. Just start naming them. I mean, it's not going to be hard.
Okay. Okay.
By the way, Stevie Ray Vaughan is number 12.
Okay. Eddie Van Halen.
Eddie Van Halen is number 8.
Okay.
Chuck Berry's number 7, by the way.
Dude, this is tough. B.B. King?
No. B.B. King is number 6. You're getting there, dude. You're going down the list.
Damn. Okay.
Jeff Beck is 5. Hang on. You are successfully naming the top 10.
I got it. Fuck. What's the guy with the Liquid Surfer or whatever?
No. Joe Satriani?
Yeah, Satriani.
No. All right. Do you want me to throw you a bone here? Jimi Hendrix.
Who's number... Of course. Why didn't I fucking think of that?
So here's top 5, like I said.
Okay.
Number 5 coming in. Jeff Beck.
Mm-hmm.
Number 4, Keith Richards, which I don't know about
Keith
that.
Richards?
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Okay.
Number 3, Jimmy Page. That's obvious. Number 2, a fellow Yardbirds member.
Eric Clapton. Ooh, okay.
Now, here's the funny thing. When we were having last week we had our dad on. We were talking about Larry Carlton. Dad put Larry Carlton as one of the 5 greatest guitar players of all time. Now, I think he did qualify that by saying blues rock or blues jazz. I think he tried to qualify that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where do you think Larry Carlton shows up on Rolling Stone's top 100 list?
It's going to be up there, dude.
I don't hear you guessing.
80?
Nope.
I'm not going to keep guessing. 25?
No, man. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what to say here.
99.
No.
Just tell me.
Here's the point I'm trying to make. I'm trying to find him on here.
Oh.
I don't even see him on here.
Well, that's, you know what? Hey,
he's not on here, dude.
Rolling Stone is not the fucking end all be all.
Yeah, but out of 100,
he's not on there.
Here I go, dude. Guess who's on here? Jack White. Jack White of the White Stripes is on here, which I agree with. He deserves to be on. Yes, he absolutely deserves to be on there, but Larry Carlton should definitely be on here.
Dude, if anything, Carlton is influence on Jack White. You know what I'm saying?
Maybe. Jack White's influence, you know. I mean, come on. The Edge from U2 is on here. And that's the thing. I don't have any problem with any of these guitar players being on the list.
No, but Carlton needs to be in there. I just have a problem with him
being on the list and not Larry Carlton. Like,
it's fine. You know what, dude?
Swap out. Yeah, this is. I'm just saying, dude. It's one of those things. Let me tell you why, though. Larry Carlton is a session musician, right? And that's one of the reasons, perhaps. Although, he put out solo work, but he just never got the attention that even somebody like Jeff Beck got. So there you go, man. He's not on the list. I just scrolled through the whole thing. No Carlton.
Maybe that's why, dude. They ain't got no respect for the fucking session, man. You know what's funny? Jimmy Page and Clapton were both in the Yardbirds. So both of them made it in the top five.
All three of
Wait,
them.
Wait, but you said Beck was number five? Okay, yeah, yes. You're right, dude. So three out of the five top guitar players of all time were in the same goddamn band.
That's right.
How much are they paying Rolling Stones?
No, I mean, you can't argue with it, though. You can't argue with that. Dude.
What are the odds that all three of them fucking, you know, mad at each other?
Yeah, it's insane.
Dude.
That's insane.
All right, so we're pulling this one out of our ass. I always like to bring that up and have it on record, you know? Like, this is a guitar player that, like, there's no point in trying to describe his music or dive into his history. You know, we just got to let the music speak for itself.
Here's all you got to know about Jeff Beck. We already said one of them. He started with the Yardbirds, right? He essentially, after Yardbirds, he tried to form his own rock groups, like traditional band type thing with a singer and all that kind of stuff. And he had his own band called the Jeff Beck Group, of which he had Rod Stewart on the lead vocals, right? And like, for whatever reason, it just never stuck. Basically, his desire to constantly, like, push the envelope and experiment, it just never worked to just have him in the background doing a bluesy kind of rock thing, which is what most of the bands were doing back then, right? So, eventually, you know, he just started to do his own solo work. And aside from all of that, him as a guitar player, he is quite often listed as one of the most
innovative.
Yes. He knew how to get any and every sound out of that guitar that he needed to get out of it. Right?
Yeah. There's something about his technique, dude. Like it's unmistakable when you hear it.
Right.
You know, like it's Jeff Beck.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So I've got a quote here from Mr. Joe Perry, which is the guitar player from Aerosmith, right? He says, Beck took great liberties. He always made it funky, twisted it into heavy metal, and wrapped all of that stuff around the lyrics, which was an exciting thing to hear. So he's talking about when he was, you know, playing with these groups where there was a singer and stuff.
Yeah.
His early records display such a left field take on the old traditions. He was busting down the doors and the walls of the accepted standards. When you heard him in the background on a rock record, a blues rock record, like you could always hear his voice coming through in the guitar. Like he was very lyrical with his guitar playing. And that definitely shows up on Blow by Blow, which is the album we're talking about today. So that was his very first solo record, was Blow by Blow. And that came out in 1975. And as our father mentioned on last week's episode, which we didn't even realize, Q, this was produced by Mr. George Martin himself.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Of the Beatles. And also, as we mentioned, Stevie Wonder shows up, not only as a writer, but as a, well, he's credited as the clavinet on Thelonious, which is
clavinet,
not a song we're going to play today. But like I mentioned before, he had a group called the Jeff Beck Group with Rod Stewart on the vocals. And I wanted to play just one song off of their record Truth, which came out in 1968. So this was well before he branched off and did his own thing. But this song is called, oh shit, what's it called? Rock My Plimsoll. And I think it's going to showcase kind of what I was talking about. There's a guitar solo that we're going to play the song up to, so you can kind of hear. I mean, I think you can, once we start to play some of the tracks from Blow by Blow, I think you can definitely hear that he, you know, his style is very distinct, and it was already starting to sort of, you know, take shape even back in 68. All right, so here we go. This is, again, a track called Rock My Plimsoll by the Jeff Beck Group. Right, so there you go. So you can hear a little bit of that. I mean, aside from, I mean, think about it. Here's what makes this stand out to me. The song is such a traditional blues song, right?
Dude, it's one of those like
standards, you know?
Blues 101.
Yeah.
That's right. What you're going to hear on day one.
Right, exactly.
Something like that. Yeah.
But then you get to his solo and he starts to do, you know, a little bit more interesting things and breaking out of the traditional blues, you know, what's expected of blues. And, you know, you can hear a little bit of fuzz there on his guitar tone, right?
Yeah.
He is not the first rock guitar player to experiment with electronic distortion, but he helped to redefine the sound and role of the electric guitar in music. Can you tell I'm reading from the Wikipedia here? Because I am. This album, Truth, was a seminal influence on heavy metal music, which, you know, started to emerge, you know, shortly thereafter, right? It's kind of interesting to me to think about, especially since we mentioned it, how Clapton, Jimmy Page, and Jeff Beck were all members together.
I can't believe that.
In the Yardbirds. And then, you know, we talk about this record here being a huge influence on heavy metal. And what was Jimmy Page doing at the same, you know, around the same time? I mean,
dude, Jimmy Page is also a
major influence on metal, dude.
Well, like, but that's the thing. Led Zeppelin that, that's sound. That's what I'm talking about. Like, you know, while Beck is putting this down, this track down, and making this record, Jimmy Page, you know, Zeppelin has already formed, right?
Dude, yeah. God.
Oh, man. Guess what, dude? I've never heard this before. Zeppelin's original name was New Yardbirds.
What?
They were called the New Yardbirds.
So that makes me think that Jimmy Page probably had more of a... I mean, like, maybe the Yardbirds was mostly Jimmy Page's thing then.
Think about it. If the three of these guitar players are breaking away from the Yardbirds and forming their own rock group, and Jeff Beck's like, I don't know what I'm going to call my band. How about the Jeff Beck group? Right? And
maybe Jimmy Page just goes, New Yardbirds, I called it.
He was the first one to do it. Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
Probably. Fine. I'll just call it. I'll just name it after my namesake.
And then, yeah, and then Clapton just like, I guess I'll just go by Eric Clapton then. Fine.
No, you forgot about Cream, motherfucker.
Ooh, my bad. Cream was after Yardbirds?
Yeah.
Well, shut my mouth.
Go back and listen to Rock and Roll Archaeology podcast, which is on our very own network, pantheonpodcast.com. They dive into all that shit. So if you want a full-blown deep dive into the history of rock and roll.
If you want a, you know, like a deep dive, we're talking blow by blow.
If you want a blow by blow play, play by play. If you want to hear about rock blow by blow. Go listen to the Rock and Roll Archaeology.
Okay, so let's jump into Blow by Blow.
All right.
Let me just say, this is one of my favorite album covers, dude. I've just always been drawn to this album art.
There's just something about this record. So let's get into it here. We've got a few tracks here that we're going to play. And the funny thing is, these just happen to be back to back to back on the record.
Yeah.
So this is what, tracks 3 through 5?
Yeah, this is like the, you know, towards the beginning of the record, and it just draws us in to right midway through. Yeah, dude, these are the songs that always stuck out to me. This is one of those albums. I think we mentioned this last week, but like, every time I listen to it, and like, I, you know, every time I dedicate an evening to this album, you know, and really soak it in, like, it's just, there's just something about this record, the way it was recorded, all the other musicians that they pulled in for, you know, the rhythm section. And,
dude, the drummer is incredible on this record.
The drummer is incredible, to the point where sometimes I'm listening and I'm just like, dude, we get it. You're fucking awesome. You know, like, calm down a little bit.
His name is Richard Bailey, just to
okay, credit well, him. Bailey, dude, we get it. You're good.
On the bass is Phil Chin and Max Middleton on the keys.
Dude, all...
what more do you need to
man,
know?
Yeah. Let's just play our first track. So we're starting with Constipated Duck, right?
Yes, that's okay, right.
So that's track 3. It's just shy of 2.5 minutes. You want to play the whole song? Let's do it. Sure. Let's do it. Let's play the whole song. All right. So here's our first pick from Jeff Beck's debut solo record from 1975. It's called Blow by Blow. This is track 3 on the record. It's called Constipated Duck. We'll be right back.
So, first thing that you notice about this song is just how much it centers around the bass player, right?
Yeah.
Or at least in the beginning, before Jeff Beck solos. But yeah, I love the effect he's getting out of that delay pedal.
Yeah, that's pretty much the star of the show is that delay.
Yeah, I mean, for the most part, yeah. That's what you're hearing. That's the, kind of the theme throughout the song.
Yeah,
but. You can tell that this album came out in the 70s by a few of the, like the signature sort of sounds, like the wah-wah pedal that you'll hear that he incorporates later. But the thing I was going to say is, like, yes, there are some things in here that scream the 70s, but this album really stands the test of time. Like, it's timeless, in my opinion.
Yeah.
It still sounds like fresh and I don't know. To me, it just, and maybe that's just because I've been listening to it like almost my entire life. It doesn't sound dated to me whenever I hear it.
Yeah, you know? No, I'm with you on that. You know, we mentioned Jeff Beck being just an innovative guitar player. Like we said, the delay pedal is what's on display in this record, in this song.
Yeah.
Like, it's not even really that complicated of, you know, he's not really doing that much. He's plucking a few notes and letting the...
Well, yeah, he's got some chords.
Well, but yeah, but he's letting the delay pedal do most of the work for him, you know? Like, that to me is what makes an innovative musician, is finding a cool way to, like, playing a simple melody or, you know, playing something that isn't that hard to do, technically speaking, but doing it in a way that is, you know, different, that makes it stand out. Just anyone can do that.
Well, this is what made Jeff Beck unique back then, was just how much he sort of mastered effects, you know.
And yeah,
he would get the most out of his guitar and the effects that he used. Because obviously, you know, if you talk about delay. I said that The Edge was on Rolling Stone's, you know, top 100 guitar players right. list. He, you know, infamously uses that delay pedal as sort of a crutch almost. But I mean, Jeff Beck was doing this, you know, before, and using it in ways that it hadn't really been used in rock before. So
yeah,
that's what made him so unique. All right. So, all right, yeah, let's move on to the next one.
Real quick, before we do that, let's take a quick break, and then we'll get back into it. And we're back, and we're just going down the line here. Next song on the list.
Track by track.
So this is a song called Air Blower. Which, man, these three songs I feel like are probably my favorite on the album.
Yeah, and when they're played back to back to back, like, I mean, and they really do kind of flow from one to the other pretty well. You know, like when you just listen to this record,
yeah,
it's just a great 12-13 minutes. You know, these songs back to back is just something about it.
Yeah, dude, let's do it. All right, let's jump right into it. This is track 4 on Jeff Beck's Blow by Blow. It is called Air Blower. We'll be right back.
Yeah, that drum fill, man. I fucking love that drum.
Dude, this is one of those songs where I'm just like, man. Yeah, I get it, dude. You're really fucking good.
Yeah, I mean, it's incredible.
God, stop making me jealous, man.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Yeah, dude. But, I love the beats on this song. And I love how, you know, the main, I guess, melody of this song is Jeff Beck playing like in tandem with the keyboard player, you know?
Yeah. He does that in the next track too, that we're going to play.
Yeah. It's really cool.
But, yeah. So one thing that I remember hearing this, and I think you can hear it here, that sound, that like sort of classic wah-wah 70s.
Oh yeah.
You know, song that most people associate with the Shaft theme song, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
That sound, Jeff Beck is sort of one of the pioneers of that sound, you know?
Really?
Yeah. I mean, he started doing it, a few years before on, the album Rough and Ready, which was another, Jeff Beck Group album, on the very opening track called Got the Feeling, which was released a few weeks before the Shaft song came out, which was credited to Mr. Isaac Hayes.
Yes, of course.
But the point being that, like, I mean, that's almost a iconic 70s sound that everybody thinks about, that almost a cliche at this point.
But, yeah.
But Jeff Beck is almost credited for that sound.
Cool.
In some way. Yeah. He may not have been the first one to do it, but he you know, was one of the first ones to do it. So anyway, yeah, so there is another part that I wanted to play on Airblower, because to me there are these two different, very distinct movements. So let's just keep it playing and we'll maybe play it out. Because there's this great, great shift that happens toward the middle of the song that's one of my favorite parts on this album. So all right, let's just keep playing it.
This might be my favorite song on the record, man.
I love that outro.
Yeah, it's almost like a whole separate idea, you know?
Yeah, definitely. But, yeah, but like, it's just so
it's so bluesy, man. And like just like it just drips with like,
yes,
emotion and blues. It's like, I dude, I yeah, love that yeah, part yeah. where it's just like, it's like, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean,
that's the only way to describe it. It's just by mimicking the noise, but
leave it in because you're right. That because it leads right into a very intense, I guess I can say, because the rest of that part is so sort of almost gentle and swaying a little bit.
Yeah.
And then that part that you just mimicked perfectly.
Thank you.
Leads right into this really sort of amped up bluesy riff, rock blues riff that he kind of throws in there. And then it swells kind of back down into the easiness of the rest of it. I mean, yeah. It's sort of a, like a master class in just guitar work,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah. And I feel like, you know, and let's just dive right into the next track. But I want to play the very last 5 seconds of Air Blower and fade into Scatterbrain.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. Yeah. That's great because, yeah, that drumming goes right into the
– yeah,
goes right into Scatterbrain in like a perfect way. So, yeah, I'm down with that.
All right, let's do it. So here is our last pick from Blow by Blow. This is the next song on the record. We're going to fade into it from Air Blower. This song is called Scatterbrain. We'll be right back.
let's just credit the drummer again in the beginning of that song.
Oh, I know,
the drumming,
dude,
is insane. It's fucking insane.
That's when I'm just like fucking...
I'm trying to find out more about this guy. I can't find anything.
Well, he must have been just a session man, you know? We were talking about session men not getting any cred.
His name is Richard Bailey. Whoever he is, he's a beast.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, so...
I love the strings in this. Yeah. And maybe that's George Martin at work, you know?
Well, get this. Dude, you're right here. The last track on each side featured string arrangements by Martin.
Yeah, dude. So there you go. I mean, that's one of the things that always stood out to me. Like, once the Beatles got past the Beatlemania phase and started doing more, like, mm-hmm. you know, songs that they could only do in the studio without replicating it live, that's when George Martin was like, all right, let's fucking put some strings in here. And this part definitely needs a violin, you know, like... That's George Martin for you, man.
Yeah. So, like you said, almost the main riff that you hear constantly through the song is both him and Max Middleton on the keys, sort of playing in sync together, which is really cool.
Yeah,
It adds like this like smoothness to that riff, you know, because it's the keys, you know, underneath it.
Yeah,
which is really cool. And the fuzz that he's bringing to this, you know, again, I think that's why, you know, he's sort of credited as helping influence heavy metal, although that's already happened at this point. It's 75, obviously. Zeppelin and Sabbath have already happened, you know, yeah. So we're already way, way beyond that. But anyway, so one thing I got another quote here, and this is from Mike Campbell, who was a guitar player with Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. He said, so what's cool about this Rolling Stones list of 100 guitar players, each write-up on a guitar player is written by a famous musician or another guitar player, right?
Yeah.
So that's why, you know, they've got Jeff Beck's write-up is from Mike Campbell. Anyway, he talks about how amazing or how perfectly Jeff Beck was able to play with and around vocalists back when he was, you know, with the Yardbirds or playing with Rod Stewart. But that once he did his own solo thing, which is this record, is the first time he does that, the tone of his guitar was so pure, it's like there's a vocalist singing but with a guitar player making all the notes.
Yes.
And I think, dude, that's what stands out the most on this record.
I've always felt that way about this album. Like, Blow by Blow is a guitar with vocal cords. I don't know how else to say.
Yeah, no, but that's, dude, what a great compliment to Jeff Beck.
Yeah.
He's a guitar player
with
with vocal cords. Yeah. He's so lyrical and vocal with his guitar playing. But that's kind of the whole thing that he was so well known for.
Yeah.
Getting any and every sound he needed to out of that guitar, like using effects, you know. I mean, it's just so vocal.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, that's what it's all about. And that's the funny thing is he even makes his guitar say words in a way on She's a Woman, right? Track two.
Yeah, but that's like he's using one of those.
I know.
Like,
it's a voice box.
Yeah, voice box. Yeah, dude. So that's, I feel like for me, it's these three songs, you know, like this is Blow by Blow to me. But like, this is one of those albums, and we say this a lot on this podcast. This is an album that you need to dedicate an evening to, you know?
Absolutely. It's only 44 minutes. I mean, you can...
Yeah.
I think you can spare that for us.
Yeah. Yeah. This is one of those albums for us. It's got a special place in our hearts. You know, you have all met our dad now. We had him on our last episode. He, for a good 3 or 4 years in a row, back when we were, you know, I think it was probably our high school years, he would take us to the local guitar show, the Dallas Guitar Show. And I remember he would always play some Blow by Blow, like on the way to or from
the
guitar show. You know, like he would hype us up with some Andy Timmons, which, dude, we need to cover some Andy Timmons on this fucking podcast, dude.
That would be a great sidetrack for Jeff Beck, but we got other sidetracks in
mind for this. Yeah, we got something else in mind for the next few weeks. But anyways, hey, dude, that's it. That's it for Blow by Blow. Let's dive into some Whatcha Herds and wrap it up.
Yes, yes.
Can I start?
Well, yeah. Let's just, if there's anything else left to be said about Jeff Beck, I don't know if there is. The only thing I would say is that at some point, I think we're going to have to circle back and talk about Wired as well, which is the next album that came out.
Which, honestly, I'm not that familiar with, dude.
Dude, there's some great stuff on Wired, too, okay. For sure.
Yeah, let's do it. Cool.
Anyway, yeah. Okay, Q. So, yeah, let's get into our What You Heards here, our weekly segment where we talk about a song that we heard over the last few days since we last met. We didn't have any What You Heards for our 100th episode because it was sort of a lengthy episode. So we've had a good 2 weeks here, Q, to discover new music. So what have you got? What have you been heardin' lately?
Well, this is another KEXP discovery.
We know.
Yeah.
We I mean,
let's just assume. Let's just assume that three out of five What You Heards for me is something that I heard on KEXP. This is an artist who goes by Little Sims. She's a rapper from Britain. She is at the ripe age of 25. This is a song from her latest album that came out this year. It's called Gray Area. This song is called Selfish.
Embedded in me, that's the heritage ego. And them, hey, they ain't messing with the sleaze though. And now I'm here, can't entertain no bummy niggas. Need my nigga fresh in a tuxedo. Me and my loot case, steady blowing weed smoke. I'm a woman who can teach you a little something about claws. Diamonds will forever be a girl's best friend. Everything's imperative for the way I live. I know it's material, but not irrelevant. All this here is worked for, not inherited. Told myself I rate my niggas up and never did. Self-loving, need more self-loving, that's how it goes. They wanna know you when you're buzzing. The first things first, number one, I'm priority. Call it what you want, doesn't faze, doesn't bother me, honestly.
I can't sleep at night, I don't wanna fight. My best friend is I'm so selfish, guess I'm
You know what I like about hearing that song after listening to blah, blah, blah?
What?
How much the bass is clearly influenced by that funky 70s bass sound, you know?
Yeah, dude.
It's cool to hear a brand new song that harkens back to the record that we just talked about in some way or another, you know?
Yeah.
Obviously, it's not, you know, that's where it begins and end at least. But it's got a very funky kind of disco vibe to it a little bit.
Totally, dude. Yeah, I just love her flow, you know? Like,
yeah, no, it's good.
I'm all about it. This album also features, there's a song on here called Pressure that's got Little Dragon credited.
Yeah, interesting, dude. Haven't heard about her in a long
time. Yeah.
Long time.
Yeah, good stuff, dude. I just, yeah, I'm a sucker for that style of flow. I don't know, like, honestly, I'm not that heavy of a hip-hop, you know, fan. But this is the kind of stuff that I like. It kind of reminds me of the way that Q-Tip flows from Tribe Called Quest. This style is always something that I gravitate towards. So, that's Little Sims. It's from her latest album from this year. It's called Selfish. Travis, what you been hearing lately, brother?
So, probably like you, I have been digging through playlists and like old, well, that's about it, really. Digging through playlists.
Yeah, and putting let's together. Not reveal why we've been digging. It's probably obvious.
No, we're gonna reveal it at the end of the episode. What are you talking about?
Okay.
I don't have any fucking problems revealing that. Anyway. So I have a playlist on Spotify called, well, I mean, it's like the most basic, you hit the heart, or back in the day when Spotify first started, you hit like the heart button, click the heart icon, and it would throw it onto a playlist called Starred, right? So, you know, once you had more abilities to create playlists and group playlists and stuff, Spotify, you know, that playlist, I haven't looked at it in years, you know what I mean? So I went through there. I was looking for songs that maybe I've heard in the last decade, because, you know, we're piecing together some lists. We'll just leave it at that. But I stumbled upon this song that I hadn't heard in a long time. It was just one of those things that fell on this list, and then who knows what happened to it after that. But I couldn't even tell you when I heard this, like where I heard it, how I heard it. All I know is it was put on this playlist in 2015. So 4 years ago. And that was probably the last time I heard this song. It is this group called the Gondwana Orchestra.
That sounds familiar, dude.
I mean,
Gondwana
Orchestra.
Okay.
But anyway, this track, it's great, man. I'm glad I was reminded about it. Anyway, it's called As I Walk, and it's featuring a vocalist named Josephine Aniyama. And it's just got this really great vibe to it. So anyway, let's just listen to that.
I'm a big fan. Big fan.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's just, it's got this really peaceful, tranquil, calming,
dude.
Transcendental vibe.
I'm a sucker for that Japanese. I think that's a koto that's being played.
Yeah.
I love that instrument, dude. Yeah, man. There needs to be more of it in this world. You know, just putting that out there, or maybe more of it in the Western world. Like every time I hear it. You know, speaking of this playlist that we're putting together, the best of the last 10 decades, 10 decades, best of the last 10 years.
It took us this long to put together the decade list. I can't imagine having to do one for the last 10 decades.
You got your mind. That's that would be the entirety of recordings of modern music. Yeah, one of my favorite, well, the only remix that shows up on that playlist features some Kodo stringed instrumentation.
Yeah, no, it's good stuff.
I love it, dude. Yeah, that's great.
Okay, so Q, as you just sort of hinted at, the next few weeks, we will be devoting our episodes to some countdowns. And we did that last year as sort of like our best of 2018. So we're going to do that again in a couple of different ways. Next week is going to be our top 10 discoveries of 2019. And what we mean by that is it's kind of a, you know, open-ended sort of, it's almost like an episode devoted to what you heard, right? But for the year, if you want to put it that way, like, you know, and one of the reasons that we wanted to do this is because, you know, everybody's putting out their list of, hey, here's the top 10 songs of 2019, the top 10 albums of 2019, new material, right? But, you know, and this is something we always talk about on this podcast is like, part of what makes being a fan of music so great is constantly discovering things, even if it's something that's been out for years and you just now stumbled upon it. It's new to you.
Yeah, if it's a song that came out 30 years ago, 40 years ago.
It makes it that much more special almost when you finally
stumble upon it. And you're hearing it for the first fucking time, even in 2019. Yeah, dude.
Exactly.
Totally. I'm excited to do a super music heavy episode.
Yeah, I mean the next three episodes are going to be super super music heavy because all we're doing is bringing songs to the pod and we're just going to talk about them. We're each bringing five tracks to the table from bands that not necessarily bands that we discovered, but this is music that we discovered in some way or another. Our favorite discoveries of this year. So it's literally up to anything, right?
Yeah.
Anything can be brought to the table here. So, and then the week after that, we're going to do our top 10 of 2019. And again, it'll be five songs from each of us. And the rule there being has to be brand new music that came out this year. So, and then we got something else in store and we'll talk about that later. For the following week. So anyway, we're going to close out the year basically, just with a ton of music, you know? And I'm excited about it, dude. I've been putting this list together for weeks now, you know?
Oh yeah.
And, shaping together nicely. I'll just say that. So anyway, that's it, man. I think this was a great episode. I love talking about Blow by Blow. It's one of my favorite records of all time.
This is one of those albums, man.
Hands down.
It's one of those albums that we knew we were going to cover eventually.
Yeah, and I think we picked a good time to do it.
Yeah.
If only we, you know, that this is a record I would have loved to have Dad stick around and do another episode of, but
we could have made that happen, you know what? Whatever.
We'll bring him back later.
Yeah.
We'll bring him back later. Anyway, so that's that.
Yeah, Travis, I've got an outro for us. Just decided within the recording of this episode. Yeah, so I'll wrap this up in a nice pretty bow for us. Have you ever heard of a bass player by the name of Stanley Clark?
Yes, jazz bass player. Right?
Yeah, jazz fusion. Yeah. You know, we're in that vein. So as a record junkie, if you want to call us that, you know, whatever. Every now and then I'll be flipping through records at like a random ass antique shop or something, you know, where it's just like, here's a box of records, you know, it's random as fuck. So you don't know what you're going to get and you'll just pick up an album and purchase it just based on the album cover. So I did this with Stanley Clark and I picked up his... it's a, I guess, self-titled record. It's called Stanley Clark. Came out in 1974. And I got home, played it, and loved it. And then I just thought, well, anytime I see a Stanley Clark record, I'm going to pick it up. This to me is Jeff Beck as a bass player, you know, like it's very similar in that it's just it's a instrumental heavy records and, yeah, just really unique. Like it's an album from the 70s and you know that when you press play, you know, but it's just really unique and innovative. I'm actually going to play a song from the next record in line for him, which is called Journey to Love, which came out in 1975. I'm going to play the first song on the record, and that's going to wrap us up for today. As always, check us out on the Pantheon Podcast Network. Hop on pantheonpodcasts.com. You'll find us there along with many other great music podcasts. You can also check us out on nofillerpodcast.com. There you can stream all of our episodes and dive a little bit deeper with our show notes. So again, we're going to fade us out with a song from Stanley Clark off of his album Journey to Love from 1975. This is going to be track one on the record. It's called Silly Putty. And as always, thank you so much for listening. My name is Quentin.
My name is Travis.
Y'all take care.